Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We're here in the studios today broadcasting live from the SDPB studios at the University of Sioux Falls. And I have sitting across from me still Jennifer Goebbels with the Biology Department of Augustana University and also Ann Peterson with the Religion Department, correct, of Augustana University.
Correct.
And this is a great example of sending an email and saying, what are you working on right now? And then hearing this really fascinating story. So, Jennifer, we're talking preterm births on reservation land. Tell me a little bit of background here.
Yeah. So last October, an Augustana alum, David Olson, came to give a talk at Augie, and he talked about his research in preterm birth, which is a bench research project trying to figure out the trigger for preterm birth. But then he talked about a project that him and his wife, Joanne, and Joanne is a nursing alum from Augustana, and they teamed up to help the women that were involved in the fires in Fort McMurray, Canada, mm-hmm. in May of 2016. And it was a huge fire. They had to evacuate 80,000 people. And they knew beforehand that women that are pregnant during natural disasters have higher rates of preterm birth, and that had been shown in other studies before. And so instead of studying that again, they decided to do something about it. And so they gave the women a writing intervention. So they would go online, log in, and they had three groups. They had a group that didn't write anything at all, another group that wrote about what they did that day. I brushed my teeth, I took a shower. A third group that wrote about their feelings about the fire. Mm-hmm. And we don't know yet if that worked to decrease their stress levels, because it's really all about stress. If a woman has high levels of stress during the pregnancy, that can cause preterm birth. And so if we can figure out ways to help decrease that stress, then maybe we can affect the preterm birth rates. So they did this intervention, and we still don't know yet if it decreased preterm birth rates. They're still gathering the data. But that got Ann and I thinking about Native American populations in South Dakota, and whose preterm birth rates are much higher.
Mm. And Ann, as a religion professor, how does it get you thinking about this? Make the connection for me.
The connection has to do with the way that a term by Maria Yellow Braveheart of historical trauma, populations who go through generations of traumatic experiences often suffer not just stressors, but biological, physiological risks. They're at heightened rates for obesity, for diabetes. But there's also studies, and this has been done primarily on Holocaust victims, of how it affects them spiritually and religiously. And one of the things that's being incorporated up in the Canadian project is to look at how writing, or in our case, using Indigenous practices, can be implemented to help women become more spiritually resilient. And so when we look at trying to reduce preterm birth rates, we want to incorporate Native practices. And so part of our research team includes Dr. Carla Abbott, a professor of nursing at Augustana, who is a member of the Cheyenne Reservation, and then Dr. Sandra Hoover-Kinzinger, who specializes in resilience studies, and she's a department member in education. So the team of us have come together to try to look at how we can develop strategies, particularly spiritual strategies, to help reduce the preterm birth rates.
Historical trauma and spiritual strategies. Well, we could spend a lot of time talking about those things. So, Jennifer, when someone, you know, as a biologist, as a scientist, when someone says, you know, spiritual strategies, or, you know, that, is that an easy for you to make, that you know, that a historic trauma could affect someone's spiritual life, and that an intervention or a strategy could somehow in turn affect preterm labor?
Right. I think that mind and body are connected, for sure. And if you can figure out ways to develop your spiritual self, then that can have effects on your hormone system, so your HPA axis, which is really important during development. It's the hormonal axis, the axis that kind of controls everything in the body. And if you can start your pregnancy with lower levels of cortisol and maintain that through the pregnancy, you can have a better birth outcomes. And the other interesting thing is that the environment that the baby is in the uterus, that it can cause epigenetic changes to the baby or the fetus's DNA. And so, and epigenetic changes are not changes to the DNA itself, but how that DNA is expressed. So which parts are expressed when, and those changes are heritable. So environmental factors make epigenetic changes to our DNA all the time. And so if this baby inherits, you know, these epigenetic factors and then is born, you know, preterm, and then has these, you know, predisposition for diabetes, cardiovascular disease, obesity, then not only that, but if that baby's a female and then she has a baby, then the grandchild also has those same inherited factors and those same inherited dispositions towards disease. So it seems to me that if we can intervene with pregnant women, that could cause a lot of great effects. If we can stop the cycle there, then it could have effects for generations.
There are two things on the show this week that have just blown my mind. And one was the implication Randall Beck was on yesterday and talking about workforce development beginning with quality preschool. And second is everything you just said.
Yeah. Good.
Good. That's mind expanding. Let's soak that in with, mm-hmm. you know, something that happens preterm, you know, can affect the next generation.
Mm-hmm. And that's been seen with Holocaust, the children of Holocaust survivors that.
Really?
Yeah. That
yes.
They have a higher, you know, rates of PTSD. And go ahead, Anne.
The intervention is that, I mean, particularly around diagnosis of PTSD, but how even religion itself might be part of the trauma. In the case, in Indian country, where boarding schools, there's a whole project up in Canada where the Anglican Church has apologized to Native communities for the abuses. And we got initial information about that from this research team in Canada. And I think in South Dakota, that seems like a really prominent topic that we need to pursue. And for me as a Lutheran and a religious person, to look at the ways in which Christianity is often exploited or helped to perpetuate trauma on Native populations by banning words that they could use, banning religious practices. So I think those kinds of effects are included in this definition of historical trauma, and it clearly shapes how people pass on their beliefs.
So as a Lutheran, Anne, when you're talking about spirituality, and are you talking about Christian spirituality, or you're talking about a spirituality that is a Native American traditional spirituality?
For me, I was talking about just my own Lutheran practice. But I think what Jenny and I are looking at in this population is what we hope to do, and Carla Abbott is working with us, is to go listen, work with the young pregnant women, talk to them about what's meaningful for them. One thing we haven't mentioned yet is we're going to incorporate technology, maybe create an app, some mindfulness sorts of things. So look at Native spiritualities, but we need to learn. We're not there just to run in and provide a Christian perspective and say this will work for you. But I think technology will be a part of this, and listening to the Native women about what best will help them to become more resilient, hopeful.
Right. And where are you at in this process, and how long does it go on for you?
We're in an initial stage. We have been planning and working on some of this since we met the research team last summer in Canada. Jenny and I traveled up there, and we're in the initial stages of writing grants. And we meet about every other week with the other two of our research team, and we see this as probably a career project for us.
Right.
This is very much a long-term project.
And we're looking for technology partners. If you know, there were people that were interested in in helping us develop an app, and you know, those kinds of things.
The technology side of this is interesting because there are apps for meditation or mindfulness, but they're very singular in their focus.
Correct.
And in their tradition.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So this would you're thinking, you're open to the fact that this an app could be something different than is anything that's been creative, and it mm-hmm. has
right. And originally we were thinking maybe we should provide classes or things like that, but transportation is difficult.
Right.
We're far away. It's difficult to get people, you know, there. But an app is something that, you know, people have their phones all the time. It's 10:30 at night, they're tired,
right.
they're
Do
stressed.
They? Is, you know. Is technology yeah. a challenge here?
Not no. from what Carla Abbott has talked to us about yeah. that.
So far it looks like that's going to be
an okay.
avenue.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And their social media groups, too. I mean, it's easy to create Facebook groups. It's easy mm-hmm. to communicate with each other. It's also a way that you can communicate with people somewhat anonymously, where you're not face-to-face and you may face risks for showing up. Sometimes even mm-hmm. showing up at certain things allows a certain sort of vulnerability for a population. So our hope is that in this exchange, we develop strategies that most meet the needs of these women, and I think our work with Carla's indicated that social media will be a really important avenue to pursue.
Hmm. These conversations amongst yourselves must just be fascinating as well to be a part of. And what's it? How do you characterize this at this point in your career and the kind of conversations you're having about this topic? You know, what does it mean to you professionally?
I've spent almost my whole career at the intersection of religion and science, and now particularly religion, science, ethics, and medicine. And this is an intersection where I really believe that when religious and spiritual communities come together and trust and listen to scientists, we can make the world a more wholesome place. So because we ask many of the same questions. What does it mean to live a wholesome life? What does it mean to talk about truth? And I've found that when I work with scientists, I'm a much better Christian because I believe that the world God created is open to and is a revelation in itself. Hundreds of years ago, there was a notion called the two books theory, right? That scripture, the word of God, is a revelation, but also that nature itself is a revelation. And so scientists reveal to us the way that the world works. And these two books bring Christians together in magnificent conversations and extend a history all the way from Augustine to Aquinas into the 21st century of this cooperation between religion and science.
We'll leave it there. I hope you'll come back and tell us more about this project as it develops. Ann Peterson, Jennifer Goebbels, both from Augustana University. Full disclosure, I am a graduate of Augustana as well. So, you know, that's there too. I'm continually impressed with the work that you all are doing.